I would like to welcome everyone here, and we are going to open this up to a conversation. Ms. Schmelzer, did you want to open, or?
I just, Ken from CCH has talked to us in the past about some difficulties they're having, some changes with the state, and some options. I did just go in and print off some of the slides that Ken gave us last time. Put them on, you should have them hopefully on your table. And so I guess we just need to begin that discussion.
Why don't we introduce everyone first? That way there we know who we're, who's who.
So I'm
Yes.
I'm Dana Drum. I'm the Strategic Partnerships Lead at OHA Public Health Division. And you and I talked on the phone a couple of weeks ago.
And I'm Shannon O'Fallon with the Oregon Department of Justice. And I'm a Senior Assistant Attorney General. And I've advised the Public Health Division for a long time now.
Perfect.
Hi, I'm Ginger Swan. I'm the previous Coos Health and Wellness Director. So that was mental health, public health, and health prevention. And I'm here at the request of Melissa Cribbins. I'm retired, so here I am.
Melissa's a good woman.
Ken Duquette, Curry Community Health.
All right, and just so you know, this is Julie Schmelzer, our Director of Operations, and of course our board, as you can see, our names. And that's JJ, the right hand of the commission. So anyway, yeah, you know what, I think it probably would be best for us, Ken, if you wouldn't mind, to kind of give everyone a brief synopsis of what your intent is, and then we can start to look at the issues and how we can deal with them.
So from a historical perspective,
Ken?
From a historical perspective, we started the Curry Community Health on February 1, 2013, and at that time, when we exited the county, we had the full public health authority. By the time 2015 came around, that authority transferred back to the county. There were so many changes in between that time that by the time October of 2017 came, it was clear that our transfer agreement was no longer a tool that we could readily rely upon because of all the amendments that we had made between us and the county, again, based on the changes from OHA. So we started a new contract in January of 2017. And I think, you know, clearly I'm not pointing my finger at OHA and saying it's their fault. They have a responsibility to run the government the way that they see fit to run the government. It's no longer the same purpose that it used to be. My biggest concern today is our contract is no longer valid. And we're not interested in signing another contract for this because of the changes with the public health programs. I don't believe it's in our best interest to do that. One of the Oregon administrative rules I did not point out to you is 333-14-0580. And if we look at that particular Oregon administrative rule, it talks about the functions of government, governance and authority. And clearly, there are a lot of things in there that we should not be doing. And a 0.25 FTE public health administrator is not enough to do all of those tasks. I mean, that was never intended to be that. So, you know, right now, we're going to a restaurant and citing them, but if they wanted to fight that, we don't have any authority to pursue that. That's really something the county needs to handle. No different than if we wanted to order somebody into quarantine because they had tuberculosis. We don't have the authority to do that. That's not what our role is anymore. You know, these are the substance issues. You know, irritant is it's woefully underfunded. When we pulled out, we were getting about $800,000 a year. Last year we got 436. We can't sustain those losses. County's had opportunities to talk about us at budget time. We haven't received dollar one. And right now I'm at the point we can't continue to operate our organization this way or we will go bankrupt. And then it's going to be not just public health, but then you're going to have a 35-person behavioral health unit to try to figure out, which I'm sure you don't want to go down that road. That is much worse than the public health. On the behavioral health end, there haven't been any real changes driving that. We just passed our triennial review on the behavioral health, and we're quite functional in that area because we contract directly with the state. These, you know, processes where the county is contracting directly with the state and then we're a subcontractor, that's not working out real well for us. We've not received any payments on time, ever. since January 2018. We're a small company. We rely on our funds to come in on a regular time frame. We've made numerous calls to accounting, all with no change. So you just kind of live with that. And so we're kind of bruised and battered, along with the other issues of trying to deal with how do you effectively run a public health program when my environmental health specialist can't cite, when we can't quarantine people, and some of the other issues. If we look at that OAR 580, it's very clear about whose role that is. So that's kind of a nutshell approach to that. So what we're wanting to do is give notice, work well with the county in transitioning these services over to the county so that you guys have employees and they're trained and they know what to do. And then because they're county employees, now they have that ability to be able to do those functions that are required of a local public health care.
So what I want to touch on a little bit is these are the on these slides here are the things that you want to transfer back to the county. What services will you keep? Will you be keeping?
Public health in its entirety should go back to Curry County. If Curry County wants to contract with us or any other provider that can provide immunizations, reproductive health services, and items like that that are service-based, we have no problem doing that. We would be more than willing to help. But a good case in point is to talk about immunizations. We can provide immunizations. Any provider in the state, a medical provider, can apply for the VCF, and they can do that. So we would be okay with doing that. But we can't do the exclusion orders for immunizations. So every year, we have to go into the schools, and we have to look at, are all these kiddos immunized? And if they're not, then they're excluded from school, and these are orders that get published.
Right.
So it's really the service-related stuff that I feel adequately we can perform without it being a legal issue. I'm concerned about what might come back to our organization on us from a legal perspective if we're trying to use authority when we don't have it. Do you guys have a copy of the OAR that I'm talking about?
No.
I don't have
it. I have copies here. Let me.
I can pull it up on the computer.
Let me give you a couple copies.
While you're passing out copies, I just have one question, because you came to the county earlier with this issue saying that you had not received payments on time from the county, and then the accounting department reared up their ugly head and said, no, this is not so. We have data showing that, in fact, you received it. So I'm just wondering where you're at on that.
So they show us receiving payments, but not within 5 days of receipt when you get them from the state. That's what the contract calls for. And I specifically asked for that when we did the services agreement to begin with, because we can't go a great distance of time waiting on payments.
All right, another question is that's come to mind is, you're not going to go defunct. You're going to Curry Health, or Community Health is going to stay in operation, correct?
That is correct. And we'll continue to provide the behavioral health services. We contract directly with the state for that, and we'll continue to operate our primary care services.
When you originally spoke to me back in April, I think it was, your conversation to me was the concern of the changes in the laws, how you couldn't... It was cumbersome for you to do your job, and that you looked to return everything back to the county originally. And now, in your presentation a few weeks ago, you had changed that direction to keeping a good portion for yourself and giving a lot of it back to the county. What was the reason for the change?
Because I work for a board of directors, and they make those decisions.
Okay.
And so as a CEO, my job is to share the information with our board of directors. And if they say we're not going back to the county, I don't have much of a choice in that. I certainly gave it my best go. I looked at every option. I'm doing due diligence. I think anything any other CEO would do. Look at all the options, vet every option, and then wait for your controlling board to tell you what it is that the outcome will be.
Okay. Do you have questions of Mr. Duque that you'd like to ask him directly? And because I think a lot of what we're going to talk about, I don't know if we need to have Mr. Duque remain here or not. It's up to you, completely up to you what you'd like to do.
I don't have any questions. I don't know, Shannon, do you have any?
think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty much working with you all to kind of talk about what your options are.
I just wanted him to be here so that he could explain to you what they're looking at doing.
That's helpful. And Ken and I have had this conversation.
Okay.
I think we don't necessarily agree on sort of the interpretation always, which is fair, but I think he and I have talked a number of times.
Do any of the commissioners have any more questions of Mr. Duquette?
Mr. Chair, I think it would be more of a better chance of a good productive afternoon if he is here. I don't see any reason why. I assume your schedule will allow you to stay.
I think it's up to them. Whatever they prefer to do is fine with me.
With all due respect, I think it's up to you. We're fine with it.
Okay,
but,
that's fine.
You know,
we can move forward. Because you may have something that you can answer, so that's fine. Okay, so if you want to... I'll give you guys the floor.
Okay, so let me, I have some copies. I'll grab mine.
Can I add?
Yes.
Is Council Huddle able to hear okay?
I can hear, yes.
Thank you.
And so you know, County Council is on the phone.
On the phone, okay, yes. I'm. Didn't realize he would be on the phone, so...
Well, he's under the weather today, and he didn't want to give it to us.
I understand. No, that's fine.
So we appreciate that.
Did you have an extra one of these for JJ?
Oh. Yes, let's see.
So it can be part of the record.
Got it. Okay,
thanks.
So thank you, Chair Posh and commissioners, for having us. I thought that... When the chair and I talked about today, it felt like it might be good just to kind of start with the basics about what is local public health authority, what are your responsibilities as the governing body of the public health authority, what are the public health authority's responsibilities in general, and then what are the options for how public health services are delivered in a community. And then finally, because you asked about it, what would happen if you were to decide to transfer local public health authority responsibilities to the state? And we do have experience with that most fairly recently, actually, in spring 2018 with Wallawa County. So I'll talk a little bit about what that looks like for Wallawa County. So. The statute's pretty clear about what a local public health authority is. Basically, it's a county government or a health district formed under statute of two or more contiguous counties for the purpose of being a public health district. And then there's also, as I'm sure you're aware, under ORS 190, the ability of a county government to enter into intergovernmental agreements that would form, you know, a governmental entity. So in Oregon, we have 33 local public health authorities. All of them are county governments with the exception of Wasco, Sherman, and Gillam counties. They, a number of years ago, formed a public health district together. And so that public health district has its own governing body, a board that includes commissioner representation on that board as well as others. So if you go to the next slide, there are a number of things that a local public health authority has to do. A number of them are enumerated on the information that Ken previously shared with you, and I have a, kind of a resource guide to leave with you that also talks about those. But there are some things that are specifically outlined in statute and in rule. But not all of those responsibilities have to be performed directly by the local public health authority. So the county government itself doesn't have to provide all of those responsibilities. But there are some things that do, and I'll talk about that. Some of the funding that the local public health authority receives through the financial assistance agreement can be that is the agreement between OHA and the county. Can be used to cover the cost of performing those responsibilities. In general, most county governments put in county general fund for public health services. Grant County, Coos County, and Curry County are the only counties that don't put in any county general fund.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Of all 36 counties?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So, and I have some specific information around sort of what the data that we have show in terms of what's the county general fund per capita and that kind of thing that I can share with you. So you can kind of see there's a wide range. I mean, it ranges from, you know, a little less than $1.50 per capita all the way up to $50 per capita. So it's a wide range. So on page 3, you'll see the statutory responsibilities for the local public health authority. And I'll just kind of walk through these and let me know if you have specific questions about what they are. But the local public health authority is responsible for accepting reports of reportable disease. So the law outlines a number of diseases that, because of their potential impact on public health broadly, they have to be reported. Lab results have to be reported to the local public health authority in the state. And then the local public health authority has a responsibility to investigate the reportable diseases and do contact investigations to stop the spread of the disease. This can be the legwork of doing that investigation, of actually, you know, doing the follow-up on the lab report can be contracted out. But if you had a situation where an isolation or quarantine order would be needed, the local public health administrator would need to do that, proceed with that order. So that's why in your arrangement, Ben Cannon is a part-time employee of the county. That's my understanding, as a local public health administrator, so that he's able to play that role if that's needed. So sorry, address number 2. Number 3, and Ken talked some about this, reviewing immunization records and issuing exclusion orders. Again, that can, the legwork, the review of those records can be done by a contractor. The actual exclusion order has to be signed by either the local public health officer or the local public health administrator. In the case where the local public health officer isn't directly contracted with the county, we have the administrator sign that order. That's all done electronically. So we would have Ben's signature in the system, and then those orders get spit out after the review is done. At the end of the day, I mean, he's ultimately the responsible party as the local public health administrator, as is the county government as the local public health authority. You have to ensure the provision of making immunizations available. So it doesn't mean you have to give the actual shots. You can contract that out. Other providers can do it. But you have a responsibility to make sure that those immunizations are available in the community and that there's good access. There are some duties and activities related to enforcing the Indoor Clean Air Act. That's actually, if we delegate the environmental health work to the county has to assist with enforcing the Indoor Clean Air Act. Again, that work can be done by a contractor, because at the end of the day, OHA actually issues any orders related to enforcement, but there's follow-up, and there are a number of steps that happen before you would get to sort of a civil penalty situation for the Indoor Clean Air Act.
What's that first word? Interclean?
Indoor.
Indoor. Okay.
Yes, sorry.
I don't know all the acronyms.
So if someone was smoking in a restaurant and someone filed a complaint, it's complaint driven. There's certain things that
okay.
we follow up on. But it's there are a number of steps before we get to the point where a civil penalty would be.
Okay.
Ensuring access to family planning and birth control services, licensing tourist accommodations, licensing pools and spas, restaurant licensure. Again, the inspections can be done, as Ken talked about, by a contract person. And we're actually working on some guidance to provide more clarity about sort of what a contractor can do on the levels of enforcement. But ultimately, you know, the local public health administrator in a contract situation, if an inspector went into a restaurant, found that, you know, the restaurant needed to be closed, and this kind of stuff doesn't happen that often, but it can happen, then at that point we would at least want a phone call to be made to the local public health administrator confirming that's an appropriate action, and then, you know, subsequent written documentation to that effect. And the reason for this is the need for due process, that it really isn't, you know, when you're shutting down someone's business,
that really is a governance or governing role as it relates to public health, and so it's an appropriate function to be done by government. Regulation of public water systems, and then enforcement of other public health laws in the statute. So those are kind of the high-level pieces. You've heard me talk a little bit about governance functions, and this is the Oregon Administrative Rule that Kim referenced. And so for governance functions of the local public health authority cannot be contracted out. So there are things like exercising any police power. The local public health administrator in a public health emergency has police powers. And so I think most of us, it's not a far reach as to why you would want an appointed government official to be the person doing that. And then enforcement of public health laws, including but not limited to taking an action on a license or a permit. I already talked a little bit about that. And ensuring due process for persons with due process rights. Issuing any other kinds of administrative orders related to public health law, civil penalties, if you have ordinances in place that would, related to public health, that would require the civil penalties in a situation. Compelling the production of records during a disease outbreak investigation. So as I mentioned, you are ultimately have responsibility for disease investigation and follow-up. If someone were positive for one of those reportable diseases and we were unable to get them to turn over medical records that for public health and safety reasons, then the local public health authority has the ability to compel those records specific to those types of situations. Yes?
I just have a quick question, and I'm trying to look at this overall picture,
right,
especially money-wise.
Yes.
Could our code enforcement officer be in charge of, once we contracted out some of this stuff and he was made aware of the problems, could he be the one in charge of issuing orders for these people to cease and desist or whatever they needed?
So I think the authority, sort of the power under the statute, is given to the local public health administrator. The administrator can designate, other folks to carry that out. So I think it's not beyond the realm of possibility if it's somebody within state government.
So what we would need, I'm just thinking big picture now, what we would actually need is a public health administrator here at the county.
Right.
And then he could designate someone to go out and do the enforcement part of it,
yeah,
like
I
our
think,
code enforcement
right,
officer.
I think that's a possibility. I mean, I think in the environmental health realm, right, there are some, requirements as far as sort of the background and certifications that people have to have, at least when doing inspections.
Right.
But
if you don't do inspections, yeah.
And then, as I mentioned, taking action authorized during a declared public health emergency. So examples of that would be Cascadia earthquake, measles outbreaks, which we've had in some of our communities. So Douglas County, was the shooting, was a public health emergency declared in that case? I know we set up an incident management team, but I can't remember if an emergency was declared. But there are a variety of things. Wildfire.
I think so.
Yeah. So there are a variety of things where a public health emergency is declared, and then that when that happens and it meets certain criteria, then there's access to other assistance.
So did they use the sheriff's department to?
They always work closely, but mm-hmm. on the public health side, the public health administrator has a role when it's a public health emergency.
And then he determines how best to take care of the enforcement part, is that correct?
Well, there's not, in an emergency, there's not necessarily an enforcement piece, but there could be other decisions that would need to be made to support public health and safety in the community if there were an emergency.
Okay.
Like deciding, making decisions around, do we need to exclude students in the, if there's a particular outbreak or something like that.
Okay.
Most during a declared public health emergency anyway, most of the authority is sort of vested in the state public health director. So I would think, you know, there may be a very important role for local public health, but it may have more to do with sort of your general day-to-day public health enforcement authority or general authority that comes into play.
Okay.
Is it my understanding, like, in the event of a Cascadia, public health administrator is the one who decides, and I hate to say this, but where do we bury individually? Do we stockpile bodies? Do we put them in a bag? That whole process, correct? No, I'm serious.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, in terms of, that's a good question to ask.
This just really got me interested.
Yeah, I mean, I think that may be general emergency manager folks, not necessarily, like, sort of in consultation with public health. I know on a state level, right, they've worked on a mass casualty, right, and sort of, you know, like, what would happen if you had to, you know, deal with a bunch of bodies all at one time. So,
And I know, like, in Josephine Mike's, I know public health took care of mapping out, you know, where can you bury bodies and how many bags do you need?
Yeah, they were thinking that far ahead.
Yeah. There is some, the state public health director does have some authority in that realm during a public health emergency. And again, so, you know, the direction might come from the state, sort of,
right,
at the, down to the county level.
Yeah, I think in a Cascadia, thanks, Shannon, I think in a Cascadia where it would likely be a statewide or would cross jurisdictions, the authority or the health authority or the state would be in the lead. But if you had a public health emergency that occurred within your jurisdiction, it would be the local public health administrator.
Got it. Okay.
So
it's more localized.
But they would have a very important role. And then you were asking about the emergency manager. It's really critical that the public health emergency person and the emergency manager are working closely together. We do have some counties where actually public health emergency preparedness sits with the county emergency manager for that reason. Or maybe the same person, like they may be 0.5 one, 0.5 the other, or something.
Okay.
So let me just stop there and see if there are any questions about kind of those high-level statutory requirements for local public health authority. And
I have a question.
Absolutely.
So for each of these, because the state requires it, does the state offer funding on all of each of these?
Not all of them. They, I don't think I have that here. I do have some information in this book that I'll leave with you that kind of talks about the various funding streams and sort of which statutory function, you know, those funding streams help support. So, but like in the example of licensure, you're the one who collects those fees, or those are collected locally to cover the costs of that work.
Can we establish the cost of the license?
Yeah, you should be approving a fee schedule.
Are we regulated by law that it can only cover the cost of service?
I can hear your cogs turning right now.
The statute does say in general, I don't know about the environmental health, but fees you set should cover the cost for doing the work. For environmental health, when you collect those fees can only be used for environmental health work. You can't, like, use them to fund immunization work.
But they could fund the code enforcement position.
Yes. If they're doing the environmental health work that they're doing.
But I think there are some sort of
There's some parameters.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would say I think Curry County currently has some of the highest environmental health fees in the state, if not the highest. That may have shifted a little bit, but just so you're already aware, if they go above a certain amount, they have to go for review, and we run them through a couple of formulas to make, this is all in statute and rule. It's honestly not our favorite thing to do, but we have to do it. It to make sure that it's within the ballpark. It's not unreasonable. It's one of the checks and balances that the legislature put in the law.
Mr. Duquet?
We're not the highest in the state, but we're definitely in the
highest. You're close. At one point you were.
Yeah, when we first started and we lowered the fees about 6 months after I became the CEO because of the complaints we were getting from the public.
Oh, wow.
And we needed to do a costing methodology to determine, you know, how are we setting these fees? And so while our costs are higher in comparison from county to county, the reality is our inspectors are driving a long portion of travel back and forth. It's likely an inspector could do an inspection in Brookings and on that same day have to go to Port Orford. And so that costing methodology is there. The Board of Commissioners has approved those fee rates. But yes, you can adjust those fee rates as long as you have a good methodology to demonstrate to the state, because otherwise they'll ask questions, and especially during a triennial review, that will become a big issue. Thank you.
And when I've talked with, when we talked internally about Curry County's fees, it's they are on the higher end. But when we run it through those formulas, you know, we can see that, like, oh, it's still, you know, it's probably pushing the outer limits of those formulas, but it still makes sense. And that's, but I think if you know, it is something, if you're thinking you may want to raise those, you may want to work with us pretty closely on that, just to sort of make sure that you're still kind of in the ballpark. Any other questions about sort of those responsibilities?
No.
All right, so let's move to kind of what the options are for delivering public health services and doing the governance responsibilities in Oregon. So I'm on page 5. The first is that you directly provide all local public health services and do the governance functions at the county. I mean, most frequently this looks like a county, there's a county health department that sits at the county. This is what COOS does. The second option is you could form a health district, and this is akin to also option 3, where basically they have their own governing body, and the membership of that is outlined in statute or in that 190 agreement. As I said, we only have one of those. Whenever we have conversations with boards of commissioners about, you know, what are we going to do with public health, we always say talk to your neighbors. But obviously, I mean, that's easier said than done in terms of entering into intergovernmental agreements across jurisdictional lines. But it is an option, and I think it's a potentially good option.
Commissioner Gold?
Which county has the public health district?
It's Wasco, Sherman, and Gillum. So kind of north central Oregon. They have one commissioner from each county board sits on their board, and in their agreement designated members for their board.
So is this a tri-county district?
Yes, they call it the North Central Public Health District, but it covers those 3 counties. And all 3 counties put in some general fund, I believe, general fund to support that operation. You can contract with another local public health authority or a private entity like Curry Community Health to provide some public health services, but you can't contract out the governance pieces. And we can work with you around like what that needs to look like. You still, in that situation, have to have a public health administrator that you appoint. The statute requires a full-time, but it also includes a provision where you can request to have a part-time administrator. So that would, you know, in your current situation, you have a part-time local public health administrator. And then the other option is you can contract with another local public health authority or a private entity to provide all the services except for governance. So, and we have several counties that are in, a number of counties that are in that situation where they contract out some or all. And I have a map to kind of show you that in a minute. When you're contracting for public health services, as I said, and I always say this a lot, governance functions cannot be contracted out. There are certain things that have to sit with the county government. You still, as I mentioned, have to employ a local public health administrator. You have to monitor your subcontractors for fiscal and programmatic compliance. That's a piece that I know has been frustrating. Quite honestly, it's been frustrating for us. But there are several years ago, most of our funding and most of the funding we pass through to our local partners is federal funding. And that federal funding meets what's called, it's considered subrecipient funding, and has a higher threshold of monitoring that's required. So those aren't requirements that we're making up. Those are things that we actually are being looked at by the feds for. Excuse me. And I will say that's been a learning process for all of us. We're still refining it. I noticed on Ken's list, he sort of mentioned several times there's been different information about several things where they've been reissued. The reason for that is often we might issue some guidance, and then our local public health partners or others come back with questions, and we're like, oh, we didn't think about that scenario, which is, you know, that's reasonable. And you know what? We need to go back and clarify the guidance. So we may reissue it indicating the additional clarification that we've made to try to make it easier on folks. So, because it is evolving.
So we're not reinventing the wheel. Are there some counties that are, say, exemplary in this endeavor?
So, in terms of subcontracting?
Subcontracting, setting up the public health thing.
You know, I don't think there's like one that I can point to as like the star, because all of the situations are different, but we will often connect you with those other local public health administrators, or if they're willing to have them share a copy of their contract or their policies, those kinds of things.
And I'm thinking mainly rural counties more.
Yeah. Well, this happens mostly in rural counties. So it's, you know, a lot of the sort of subcontract monitoring, subrecipient stuff is new because these are newer federal requirements. And so we're all kind of living into that. And it's hard. And it's, you know, I spend most of my time, the majority of my time, you know, kind of working through some of those things because it is complex. I don't think it has to be complex in practice, but I think getting there is. And making sure that there's a clear understanding on what the county's responsibility is for that that monitoring, and versus what the contractor's responsibility is. We're you know, still working through that. Let's see, I've already talked some about that. Also the relationship between the health officer and the local public health administrator really should be clear and in writing. So even if your health officer is, you contract for it, or you contract, say, with Curry Community Health to provide a health officer, by law, that health officer is accountable to the local public health administrator. So it's really important that that relationship is clear, so that, you know, when they're in that health officer role and maybe needing to take some sort of action with that hat clearly on, it's the public health administrator in their county employee role that they're responsible to, even though they may work for a different entity. So we just said, that's just something we've sort of learned, where there's some things have gotten sideways in the past, and it's just a lesson learned. If you're contracting for public health services, there is a matching fund requirement for some of the nurse home visiting programs. And right now, I don't believe Curry Community Health is doing that program because they found it too expensive to run. But there is a taxing authority, funds from the taxing authority have to come to match that Medicaid match. And Ginger might can talk at some point if you're interested about how they made that work in Coos. Because there's no county general fund that's going to public health. So there are ways to do it, but and other counties that contract with have contracted public health services have also worked through that. Vital records, which I believe is already done here at the county. Another thing to consider, and often we're having this conversation where it's opposite, where the public health has sat at the county and they want to contract it out. You want your council to be advising you on employee transfer statutes. We can't provide you advice around that, but there are potential implications there. And then ultimately, the local public health authority, the county government, is responsible for services that are provided through our agreement with you, the public health agreement. So anyway, and then I would just say setting up arrangements or changing these arrangements, depending on what they look like, really require time and communication planning. That's been our experience. They are not easily or well done if they happen, if you try to, you know, turn on a dime on these things. So So any questions about contracting? I appreciate you staying with me. I know this is a lot of information.
My eyes are just starting to glass over a little bit, but they haven't rolled back yet.
Hello, Mr. Chair. This is John Huddle. I have a question about contracting, County Council here.
Go ahead.
We had Mr. Duquet say that they would propose to directly, as Curry Community Health, directly contract with the state for the behavioral health, I think that is what he was calling it. Is that then behavioral health not a required service of a local public health authority then under the public health statutes?
They're
no, they're separate.
Okay, so that we would, if we were to be the local public health authority, we would not be required to do the behavioral health component then?
No. No, and you are the local public health authority.
Well, yes, I agree with you. Thank you so much. Yes.
Mr. Chair,
that reminder.
Council Huddle, just a quick point, Ken Duquet speaking. There are two independent contracts we have with Curry County. One of those is for public health, and one of those is for behavioral health. We have no issues with the behavioral health contract, not a lot of substantive change over the past couple of years. We have 35 people working in that division. Everything is going smooth on that end. It's only the public health that we're talking about.
Do we pay anything into the behavioral health right now?
Say that again.
Does the county pay into the behavioral health program at all?
The county does not pay into the behavioral health program. The behavioral health program has changed. Initially, we were getting most of the money from the state. Now the two CCOs are involved in that. We're moving away from a capitated model into a fee-for-service model, which is going to be a little crazy for this next calendar year. But other than that particular process, we're fee-driven. So we're able to maintain the fees that we're charging the patients that are coming in, because we're not just meeting the need for those folks that would be using county services. We're also taking in private insurance. We are credentialed with 13 different insurance companies, and we provide psychiatric and mental health services, case management services, crisis services, autism services, and I could continue to go on and on and on. That one is operating smoothly.
Okay, thank you.
Follow up from John Huddle here. So I thought I heard Ken Duquet say two sort of different things. One, that they have a contract with the county to provide behavioral health, and two, that they were directly contracted with the state to do behavioral health. Is it more or less a hybrid of those, or can you kind of explain that a little bit more, Ken?
Yes, sir. Thank you. So we have an agreement with the county to provide the behavioral health services, which is mental health and substance use disorders program. We contract directly with the state, and they pay us directly. The funds do not come to the county. There are some funds that come to the county, like the beer and wine tax that needs to get forwarded to us. And on occasion, there are some special payments that come in that would get forward to us, and they're earmarked with the behavioral health designation on those. So it's pretty clear to pick those up.
Okay. Council, did you have something else?
We had the same question.
No, not you, Council. Council here.
Mr. Huddle and I had the same question.
Okay, great. All right.
So I'll move on to what happens if the local public health authority no longer wants its authority and related responsibilities. So before I talk about this, I do want to say that OHA, you know, public health is local. We think that when public health is done closer to the people that are impacted by that work, that is more ideal. And I think as we go through this, you'll kind of see why. But there are provisions in the statute and rule for what would happen if there were a transfer. So there's one condition by which a county governing body of the local public health authority can transfer its responsibilities. Every biennium, OHA has to send to the Legislative Fiscal Office an estimate of funding that OHA and the public health system would need to help implement, move more towards implementing full public health service provision, and, you know, so that every Oregonian has access to basic public health services. And if OHA does not receive that amount from the legislature,
then any local public health authority governing body can transfer its duties to OHA. That condition has not been met. We, I think, asked for close to $50 million this last legislative session and received about $15 million. So any governing body in the state could say, we're going to transfer a local public health authority. If we were to have gotten that amount of money from the legislature, you would not have that as an option. So in a transfer situation, all authority and responsibilities can be transferred, not just a portion. So you can't say, oh, well, we want to keep the environmental health work, but the rest of it we want to the state, you know, we're just not going to do it anymore, and we're transferring our responsibility. It's an all or nothing deal. And unless it's agreed upon with the LPA, with OHA, you cannot transfer the responsibilities back to the LPHA for at least 4 years. So if you do it, you're stuck with OHA doing it for 4 years unless we reach an agreement. I'll tell you that there would have to be, we're working on the criteria by which a transfer back to a local community or jurisdiction would be. We'll be working on that over the next 6 months. But it's a lot of work to go through a transfer, and so, you know, I think it would have to be a pretty significant, there would have to be a pretty significant reason to do transfer back earlier. The process for it is that the county government, you would adopt an ordinance or a resolution to transfer the local public health authority responsibilities to OHA. And it would not take effect more than or any earlier than 180 days from the date of adoption. So you would, unless we agree to an earlier date. So there's some notification requirements that have to be provided to the OHA public health director. And then you're still required to fulfill any contractual and statutory requirements until the date of transfer. So for the remaining 6 months. Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Gold.
So tell us about Wallala County.
Yes.
What happened in their case and how successful or unsuccessful, or why did they do it, or?
Well, they did it. They were a county that didn't put any county general fund in, and they were basically a staff of 1.5 people. And their public health administrator had gotten a new job, and then the part-time staff person became full-time, and so there was one full-time person. And then she eventually got another job, and they said, we're gonna get out of the public health business.
How big is their county population?
It's about 7,000 people.
8,000,
okay.
So how it has worked, and I have something that would show you how this would work for Curry County, but basically, in fact, let me go ahead and give you this if that's all right, so you can see what I'm looking at. Hold on.
While you're doing it, I mean, I'm sure you can understand that this county doesn't, we don't have the resources to pull from, for the funding for this. I mean, if we're to be handed this back, we're already well in excess of 7 figures shortfall in our budget.
Mm-hmm.
The part-time sheriff's department, we're pulling funds from our road fund to pay our bills. So this would be an exorbitant burden on the county.
So so let me talk from this, and I can talk about what it's looked like in Wallawa. So Wallawa did not, this next fiscal year, and this includes probably a couple of amendments that you haven't gotten yet, but that are on their way in the contract. But for FY20, it looks like we'll be giving you about $487,000 in funding through the public health intergovernmental agreement. So if you look at the right side of the table, I think there's sometimes this perception that if a local public health authority governing body transfers its responsibilities, that OHA is just going to come set up shop and open a health department in that jurisdiction. That's actually not what happens. We've done quite a bit of analysis. Shannon has done quite a bit of analysis around this. And so there are some things that we are required to do in the situation of a transfer. We're required to do, at the effective date, so 180 days, We're required to do communicable disease control with some limited contact investigation. We would likely, in the case of Curry County, do that from Portland. A lot of that work can be done by phone. If there were an outbreak and we needed to have boots on the ground, we would probably deploy some staff to come and deal with that outbreak on a case-by-case basis. We are required to enforce the Indoor Clean Air Act. That, again, likely would be done from Portland, and we would come do site visits as needed. The food, pool, lodging, health, and safety work, so that's all the licensure inspection. It would either be done from Portland with some of our own staff, or we would look to contract with another local public health authority, most likely, to take that work on, and so we would pay them to do that. We would still issue the licenses. We would set the fees, all of that kind of stuff. The CPs are actually set in statute. For safe drinking water, that would be done by OHA staff. We do the drinking water work for a number of local public health authorities already. Some choose to do it themselves, some do not. And so that would get absorbed into our work. And we have several sort of satellite offices around the state where folks work out of to do that work. And then WIC, by law, is required to be a statewide program, so we would select a contractor to provide WIC services in the community. So we do not, because you're transferring responsibilities and functions, not programs, we do not, we would not take on county or contractor employees at OHA. You know, if there was a position we needed to open to cover the work, folks could certainly apply, but we don't absorb those staff. Anything else? So if you'll look on the left side, you'll see there are other things on here like public health emergency preparedness and response, alcohol and drug prevention, maternal and child health, school-based health center, immunization services, reproductive health access. Any of those other things we would determine at OHA using kind of data and criteria to whether or not those would be things that we would cover in the community. It would be highly unlikely that those things would be online at the time of transfer, so those things would just stop. And we would either perform them directly or through contractors that we select. So vital records is not part of the local public health authority statutes, although it often sits with the local public health work, so that could just stay with the county government. It's governed separately.
I have a question on that real quick. Mm-hmm. My understanding is in the past our clerk did the vital records,
mm-hmm.
and I'm told that that has changed, and the reason why we have somebody separate doing it is because they can't be the same person. Is that true, or is it?
It can, you know, it can be the county clerk. There may need to be some separation of duties just around sort of protecting the paper that the stuff is issued on or
okay.
something, but yeah, but there are a number of counties where the county clerk's office is the one that
okay.
issues it.
Can we do something at this point? Well, let's get through this paper here first.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of it on this. I just wanted you to know sort of that's what it means. In Wallawa, we do, you were asking about that, we do the communicable disease work from Portland. We have a small contract with the Wallawa Health District that we already had a contract for around hospital preparedness work, and so they do just some really minor, like not minor, but sort of very, very basic work around public health emergency preparedness, so that if there is an emergency, like we would have someone to go to there. In terms of additional work, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. The environmental health inspections we currently do with our staff, although we are exploring opportunities with other counties to potentially take on the inspection work around that.
Okay, so why don't we do this? It's 1:30.
One more page, I think.
Excuse well, we're going to have more than that. More than this, though.
Okay.
No, that was the end of that sheet. This was this handout, the single page handout is what we were going off of.
Okay.
So it's 1:25. Let's take a 10-minute recess and then we'll reconvene. All right. right, it is 3:35. We are back in session. If you'd like to continue. I'm sorry, 1:35. I'm looking at that one.
I was going to say, wow.
I was looking at that one, and it looks like 3:35, doesn't it?
Oh, sure does.
It's 13:34.
It's 13, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so I left you, I stole one of JJ's, I'll get it to you in a second. I left you several pieces of paper. This is a map of kind of how public health is delivered in Oregon. I apologize, I didn't make enough copies, and I can send these electronically. The blue is really where pretty much everything sits within a county government. The yellow is where they're contracting out for most or all of the clinical services, and they may contract for some non-clinical services. The orangish is contracts with other entities for all non-governance services. And then the purple up there is where the North Central Public Health District is. And then you'll see Wallawa with the stripes because they've transferred
to
the state. So that gives you that. Then you also have this table, and it has a narrative attachment. This just gives you, I think, probably of most interest to you are the white columns on the far right that show the county general fund for FY 2018 that was spent on public health, and then their per capita county general fund. And you'll see based on what the population estimates were. This is from some data collection we are required by statute and rule to do. And it also, you can also see what some of the in-kind support was. We were calculating this based on a certain set of public health services. So that's what you see, less exclusions. But what you've got is the total county general fund that was recorded on anything public health related.
Okay.
And then finally, and that's the one I stole from.
Thank you.
And then finally, there's this. We developed this about a little less than a year ago. And it really is developed as kind of a reference guide. And when we find local public health authorities in the situation you're in, we like to provide this to you as a reference. We are available to support you and answer questions and all of that. But it outlines somewhat more detail some of the things that I've talked with you about today.
So is your contact information in this booklet?
Oh, probably not, but I do have my car
solid. I have it.
Okay.
Yeah. At this time, I guess if there's no more questions, what I'd like to do, Ms. Schmelzer, is direct you to, in the next couple of weeks, if we could, with Mr. Decay, have another workshop on this where we could give us some time to read through this.
Sure.
And kind of get a direction on where we would each like to look to go, and then have another workshop, because this is coming up pretty quickly. So we need to get some direction on this. Yes, sir?
If I may, Mr. Chair, we really haven't executed any definitive document yet in terms of notice. The idea was to have conversation, and I was hoping to work on a mutual return of public health. Certainly for our organization, time is of the essence when we think about the continued cost and my concern about liability to the organization. Well, I understand your council and other councils might have different opinions. My council has a different opinion. And I've got to march to the tune of our board of directors and our council. So I just wanted to give a few thoughts here. We took our current staffing, and we took a benefit modifier of 35%, and we tacked that on. We ran the budget numbers. I had 485. It was pretty close to the 487 there. And what we came up with a surplus of $92,000. That was rolling out all of our staff, if the county were to take them in, with a 35% benefit cost modifier. That doesn't include any admin fees you may extract from that, that most county governments would do, and I'm not your accountant, so the accountant would have to do some of that. This does not include two very specific funds that I haven't talked about, one of them, but I have talked about the other. So this is not including the Environmental Health Fund, which currently has a good amount of dollars sitting there. I think environmental health cleanly makes somewhere between $60,000 and $100,000 a year at its current status. Those are extra fees on top of actual cost of operation. And then secondly, the MAC funding. MAC stands for Medicaid Administrative Claiming. We actually use that for both public health and behavioral health, but we're willing to return the MAC claiming to the county, and you guys can claim that on your own. the money jumps all over the place. It's based on percentages and work studies, but we see an average of about $65,000 a year, and we've been as high as about $120,000 a year in the MAC claiming. So I do think it's realistic for the county to be able to take this on and probably break even or not be at much of a cost factor. There's other things that come to play when it is a county government. I know that OHA is not doing any matching funds right now, but that's certainly on for some time in the future. And then there's just, you know, rate setting, monitoring your folks, and having a good public health administrator that's going to toe the line in terms of the budget. I think giving up local control is a big mistake. I really do. I don't think it's in the citizens' best interest down here on 101, geographically isolated from everybody, to have a big hit taken on public health services. If I had $20 million in the bank, we wouldn't probably have some of this conversation today. Some of it would be driven by the nature of the changes. But I'm really hoping that the county's interested in taking this back on. We want to work with you in taking that back on. And I think we can provide all that budget data to support that. We were just waiting for an opportunity to come to a workshop to show you the employees, their costs, 35% modifier, et cetera.
Commissioner Boyce?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to ask you a question. I want to come back to Mrs. Swan here a little bit, just to maybe a couple quick questions there that could help.
Well, what we want to do, just so you know, that we do want to have a question and answer with them, and we'll let Ken go at that time, because there are some questions that I would like to ask, honestly, without Ken here. So, and then that's why I'm asking for a workshop down the road in 2 weeks.
Okay. I don't understand that, but that's your call, Mr. Chair. You just said Curry Citizens taking a big hit. Could you ask, just give a little more detail on your concern there? I think I understand, but I just want to make sure I'm following you.
So certainly, at the last time I spoke with our board, you know, we had a $400,000 loss this year, and $100,000 of that is attributed to our marketing strategies to really get the public aware of what public health is. So we drive a lot of activities, which cost us a lot of money. And so we've gotten people reintegrated back into public health. For a while there, it was pretty dismal. We don't want people to lose touch with that. People really count on some of those public health services. I worry about that in the future if the county's not doing that. You know, we would still be operating the school-based health center for the mental health, but not for the medical coverage. And that's something hopefully another provider would be willing to pick up, because our hands are full, which is the behavioral health side. Those are the things that we could lose in this county that are going to impact the citizens of this county. I'm concerned about that. Our organization is no longer at a point where we can provide that service financially or from a regulatory perspective, in our opinion.
Can I ask kind of question before?
Sure.
Ken, what are I know that you had offered to continue to provide the Title V programs. What are those? What is that?
It's mainly the reproductive health. We have a women's health nurse practitioner who's seen folks. We've got the BCCP program. There's a bunch of other programs in there. We elected not to do a few of them, Babies First, Cocoon, and some other ones, because the funding for them are so low, it costs more to actually do the administrative paperwork than you get back in the funding process.
Yes.
Let me clarify. So. I appreciate you asking that question, because I was a little confused. So there's Title V funding and there's Title X funding. And the reproductive, and actually currently in the state, there's no more Title X funding because of some federal changes. But the services are still happening and the funding is still happening for that. So Curry Community Health, as a kind of certified reproductive health provider with the reproductive health program at the state, I mean, that would be, you would just continue to do that. The Title V work is more the maternal and child health work, so nurse home visiting, the maternal and child health overall kind of plan around promoting how you want to promote certain priorities around Title V. So I think that I'm not sure that Title V, except for the more nurse home visiting pieces, actually might make sense to contract. I think that's something we, you know, we can certainly have our subject matter folks talk with you more about. But the, but what used to be called Title X until what, 6 weeks ago, then that would just continue. I mean, that there would be no no break there, because the to provide those clinical services, that's done in a separate arrangement.
Okay, does anyone else have any more questions of Mr. Duque?
Yes, not to quarrel with you, Mr. Chair, but here's my especially after just hearing and being reminded from CEO of Curry Community Health, Duque. He has publicly served this county for almost 10 years now, and he's a very valuable resource. And I'd like to have a consensus of the board, because I view his time and his expertise as quite valuable, and I part of the solution. And I think he is very sincere on the situation he's in and how to transition with the county, work with his entire system. And so as being part of the solution, I'd like him to remain here, because and I've not talked to him about this, but that's a strong personal preference.
Well, that's my intent, is to have some private conversation with Coos County, with these other ladies.
I just don't know why that's
and
private.
Can I finish,
okay,
please?
I'm sorry.
And then we'll have, in a week or two, we'll ask Ms. Schmelzer to have another workshop with Mr. Duque, and start to work out the answers to what we're working on here.
So why don't you get our third board member to weigh in on if she agrees with you or with me on the basis and the value of having.
I have, just so you know, I have nothing personal against Mr. Duque.
Then let him stay.
I don't want to be disruptive.
Disruptive?
I didn't say you were being disruptive, sir.
Yeah.
So can we get a consensus, Mr. Chair?
I don't care either way, to be honest with you.
Well, that doesn't help us in this.
I know. I said you guys could flip a coin. How's that?
Make a decision, please.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I'm fine with leaving. I don't have a problem with that. I think you're entitled to ask whatever questions, get whatever support you need. The county is faced with some serious decision making. I don't have a problem with it.
I just think it would be easier if there is someone in this room that would like to say something clearly. With you sitting in the room, they might not feel that comfortable to say it. So, again, I would ask Ms. Schmelzer to get with your office and coordinate a workshop at the nearest possible time, so that we can begin to work out when and where and how we're going to accomplish all of this. Thank you.
Your turn. Just direct them to me.
Okay. Thanks for coming on such short notice.
Thank you.
This is great. I want to assure you I'm going to read every page, too. I'm going to try.
You're
going to
really sleep well over the next week.
Thank you.
So if we
can make 67 pages.